And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
You are now tuned into anything potable, the most honorable, the most audible. Hold the applause, like Paul Pierce when he was fresh out the hospital, like Antoine when he shimmied after shots went through. So tell me why you mad even. Your team gonna be sad leaving after matching up with Brad Stevens. East season, champion contenders. We drop twice a week like you trying to guard Kemba. Your team whack and your players whacker. I got the inside scoop after hanging up with Jay and Packer. Okay, we about chips here. I'm talking about this year, being a 12 plus 6 here.
Fast PP.
Top rookie, I'm seeing it now. Ain't playing around with Tatum.
Fournier.
Brown, we off the charts, but you gotta play it Marcus Smart. Close out, cause he pulling up from Harvard Yard. Gang green, it's no other way. So tune in to the pod if you plan on staying up to date. You heard? Aziz. AJ, I see you, man.
She.
Welcome to LA Dangas Motorball! The Boston Celtics podcast here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm your host, Sam Jam Packard, professional sports fan. And something's going on in Celtics land. It's not good. I'm joined not by Jay King, but by the whole cast of the Geno Time podcast for a little home and home podcasting session. That's right. Tom Westerholm, Celtics beat reporter for Boston.com. Nicole Yang, Patriots beat reporter, but also host. She's from the Boston Globe, host of Geno Time, and Chris Grenham from Forbes. And you can see him on Nesson After Hours talking about the Celtics. And I don't even know where to start with this basketball game. It's Friday night. The Celtics just lost to the Chicago Bulls by 20. Unless the Minnesota Timberwolves score 10 points in the next minute and 30 seconds, the Boston Celtics will be your seventh seed. And it pretty much feels like they're going destined for a play-in tournament. Tom, we'll go to you. What the hell is going on out there? What happened tonight? How do the Celtics lose by 20 to the Chicago Bulls?
I mean, in retrospect, I honestly think that, like, I mean, I was out here saying that I thought the Celtics had a real chance at getting to like the 4 or 5 seed just based on like their schedule and like the Knicks schedule. In retrospect, I probably should have looked at the Bulls and been like, okay, they have Zach LaVine, who is like the prototype of a Celtics killer. They have Kobe White, who low key kind of has the profile of a Celtics killer. And they have Nikola Vucevic, who the Celtics haven't been able to guard literally since like, I mean, the like, I can't remember a time when they were guarding him well in the last like, you know, 5 years or so. So, I mean, they have a bunch of guys who really punish the Celtics, and it just came at like the worst possible time. They needed this win so badly, and now they go in. I mean, they have to beat Miami twice, right? Like, I feel like they need both of these upcoming wins.
Yeah, they are pretty much with the going to be one game back in Miami. Even if they split with Miami and get the tiebreaker, there's still going to be a game back. The Heat do play the 76ers and the Bucks to finish out the season, so have a much harder schedule. So there is a chance. But Chris, we were talking about before we started recording, like Jason Tatum just didn't look good at all tonight. I think he was 3 of 15 from the field for only 9 points. Like, he's been very good before this. I just don't know like how that happens in this situation.
He was extremely good before this. He was super flat tonight. Other than Kemba Walker and Evan Fournier, the Celtics as a whole were extremely flat. And I have a hard time seeing how that's possible in a game when they're playing for their playoff lives, essentially. Like, these are all playoff games. It's been said like a million times at this point. It's very important. It's not like this game is one that they could afford to lose. So, yeah, he was really flat. And on a night where there's no Jaylen Brown, like, not a great night for him to be flat, and the Celtics didn't really have anyone to pick up the slack. Like, Smart was incredibly flat too. He didn't provide them really anything. He wasn't that ball mover that they need him to be. And so it was just kind of a trickle down effect. It felt like, to a point, like, yeah, Fournier and Kemba were fine, but outside of that, starting with Tatum, it was just so ugly. And he was honestly flat on defense too. Like there were some really bad defensive lapses. Evan Fournier was great on offense, but he was bad on defense tonight too. Like just bad, bad, bad. It was not good. And it started with Tatum. I really don't know where to stop in terms of criticisms of their game tonight.
You know who was also awful on defense? Jabari Parker. And that's the last word I'm going to mention him on this podcast, hopefully. But he was absolutely ferocious. That's horrendous. And I don't even know what the second word
is. He was ferocious.
He was absolutely ferocious. I think that I started having bad feelings about this game as soon as I saw the injury report come out and say that Rob Williams had turf toe. Like they are just so much of a better team when Rob Williams is in the game. And from the way Brad was talking before the game, it doesn't seem like they're going to have Rob for either of these two Miami games. Nicole, are they entirely screwed if they have no Time Lord?
Pretty close to it. And I think they should be worried beyond just the two Heat games. Like, I'm not sure the different levels of severity for turf toe, but like Devontae Adams had turf toe recently, either this past season or the year before, and his initial projected timeline was 2 to 6 weeks, and he ended up missing 4 weeks.
So, that's our NFL beat reporter right here. That's right.
What turf did he stub his toe on? He should be on a court.
Turf toe.
Not the experience covering turf toe. How about
deal with turf? So I would be concerned about that. And then it shows like how the Celtics bench is pretty thin whenever they have an injury, but particularly at the five, like you just basically have Tristan Thompson and then Lou Cornette and Taco. Taco minutes didn't go well tonight.
No, they did not.
So it gets pretty dicey. That being said, the Grant Williams minutes at center did go pretty well, but I don't really think that's who you want like first off the bench in the playoffs at the five. Like obviously Robert Williams is a superior player. So it's going to be pretty bad if he misses significant time.
Yeah. I mean, I keep holding on to the fact that like the top seven guys have never lost a playoff series. Never lost a game, but they haven't been in the same lineup at any point this season. And I just don't know if that's ever going to happen. I mean, that's like the one saving grace. Like maybe if these top seven people can come together and like put together some sort of run in the playoffs, but they're just never going to be healthy. And so I don't know like what the expectations are for this team to finish out the year. Like I wouldn't be surprised if they go and win two games against Miami in a row just to like zig while everyone else is zagging, but is there any reason to expect this Boston Celtics team to be healthy moving forward? Like we just haven't seen it for a full, 6 months now? Oh, I'm supposed to tell it. So yeah, Tom, you can go.
But seriously though, like usually you get guys like kind of toughing it out in the playoffs too. And I mean, like some of these injuries, like if turf toe might just not be something that, like that you can really tough out. Like one of the things that Brad said before the game was that Rob was like, he played in the Celtics last game and he got like progressively more sore as the game was going on. So it's like, yeah, like he's, you know, he's making it a little bit worse. So, you know, you worry about that. I mean, I still have lingering concerns about, I think Jaylen Brown is probably playing through some things that he's not talking about. Like, the Celtics are super, super banged up, and I'm sure everybody around the league is, but just kind of in the position they're in, it's like, yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's guys who could try to gut through it, but at the same time, like, I'm again, like, gut through it for what? Like, if they end up in the seventh seed, like, they're if they end up in the seventh seed, they're not coming out of that series. Like, they're going to be playing, you know, the Nets or the Bucks or the Sixers. Like, that's brutal. So, I don't know. I mean, it's tough to say. Like, I don't know what – I don't see any reason that we could expect them to be healthy at this point.
At this point, it feels like there's no chance they're going to make the 4 or 5 unless the Knicks completely implode on the rest of their like West Coast trip. At that point, they're either the sixth seed and you're playing the Bucks or Nets and you're going to probably lose in the first round series, or you get the seventh seed and you get a little win in the play-in tournament, get some good momentum going, and then you lose in the first round series. All I'm looking for the Celtics is I don't even expect a series win at this point. I just want them to make some noise. And that means like playing, I guess, the Bucks or Nets at least like six, six games, but I don't know. Is it like, what is a, at this point, the season's going to be a disappointment just because they have all this talent and you want them to at least get to the, I guess, second round, but let's change expectations. What would be a, I guess, a positive or a small moral victory for the Celtics from here on out?
I mean, my view of like a victory was them pushing the Knicks, like getting a game on the Knicks tonight and then beating the Knicks for the head-to-head in the final game of the season and then getting like the five seed, winning in the first round and then getting clapped in the second round or something. That's not going to happen anymore. So I don't know. I guess it would be winning a game or two against the Bucks if they get sixth seed. Like,
things are low.
No, like I've been very low on this team all year as Jim turns around his Celtics hat to make sure. Like, I don't know. I think I don't see them giving the Bucks or any of those teams at the top like any legitimate trouble. Like, I think the most trouble they'll give is like a couple games. I do think they play better against better competition. Like, there is something to that, but I just think they'll steal a couple games maybe from one of those teams. I don't expect anything more than that if they are the six.
Well, and I think the thing that makes this team so disappointing, like just so so frustrating, is that there were so many opportunities for them to just not, you know, lose some of these bad games to be in this position. If you beat OKC, then losing this game doesn't, you know, like doesn't put you in such a difficult spot. You know, if you don't lose to OKC and Charlotte in back-to-back games, like if you take like both of those games or at least one of them again, like you're just in so much better position. If you don't blow a 25-point lead or whatever it was to the Pelicans, like there's all these opportunities throughout the season where if the Celtics just kind of like didn't, you know, fritter away a perfectly reasonable opportunity to win a basketball game, they could be still be in contention for the four or the five, or you know, they might not be in such a, you know, such a tough spot to end up in the play-in game. Like, there were so many chances for this team to not disappoint and not, you know, like still probably wouldn't beat the Nets or still probably wouldn't beat the Sixers or whatever it is, but just, you know, like be a lot more respectable than, you know, the position they find themselves in now.
I think like a moral victory too would just be, and this might be even sadder than winning like two games in the first round, is just like Kemba continuing this good stretch, like Evan Fournier sort of returning to 100% and just like maintaining health and like ending the season on, even though they're probably going to lose the series, like on somewhat of a high note for next season. Like, Gino Time has talked a lot about how optimistic we are for next season. So as long as nothing goes awry and they're like fully ready to start next season healthy, I feel like that's a win.
Yeah, and Kemba,
I agree with that. Yeah.
Kemba was the only player who was like good for the entire game and looked like pretty explosive. It's like wild how good he looks when he's rested, and it's going to be interesting to see what he can give them in the playoffs. But I like that NBC Sports Boston is really pushing the Kemba Fournier are like best friends and have great chemistry narrative, just because the Celtics need to do whatever they can to keep Fournier in the offseason. It's just interesting, like, Maybe I'm just going to go, if I'm going to try to embrace positivity, full pivot, the play-in game's fun, and the Celtics are going to be a main featured team with the Lakers in that play-in game, and what's more fun than like win or go home basketball? The thing I'm worried about is that Gordon Hayward comes back for the Hornets, and you have the ultimate Gordon Hayward, Terry Rozier, Nick Friedman revenge game, where it's just all these former Celtics greats are coming back, and then the Celtics lose that game, of course, and then they run into like the Washington Wizards and Bradley Beal scores 45. Like, I'm trying to think of the worst possible timeline, and that feels like one that's not only possible but likely at this point.
I think playing game would be fun. I don't think most fans would find that as like a moral victory per se, but like, it would be fun. They're also Nick Friedman versus the Celtics, tough matchup for the Celtics. I don't know. Also, the Hornets are a good team,
as we saw, especially when they have LaMelo, Terry, and Hayward. Yeah. I don't like Devontae Graham, but PJ Washington is pretty good. What do you guys expect to happen over these next two games against the Heat? They're playing on a Sunday afternoon, which we all know is terrible. It's just they're just not going to end up well. But like if they lose like the first game, like I just generally expect them to split. I feel like we've seen when these teams are playing these weird back-to-backs, it's just naturally they're going to split. That still puts the Celtics down a game from the Heat. They have to play in a back-to-back against Cleveland. Do you think Kemba Walker plays there? Do they eventually abandon the kind of Kemba saving his knee because it's do-or-die playoff time?
I wouldn't abandon the Kemba thing that's, like, worked all season. And, you know, like, again, I mean, my whole stance right now is just, like, don't do anything that endangers next year. Because, again, I really think that, like, an offseason for these, you know, these young guys, like, a chance to for Neesmith and Pritchard to develop a little bit more, for Rob to develop a little bit more, to build, you know, a little bit of cohesion and have a training camp and all this stuff that they didn't get this last year really sets them up for a good season next year. You know, as far as what to expect for these next two games, like, I mean, like, whatever you think for the Celtics, take the opposite and then take the opposite again, because you don't know. Like you would expect them to come out like on fire and, you know, be like fired up and try to win these games. I also would have thought that they would come out fired up to beat OKC, and they didn't do that. They, you know, got beat again. Like I like this team is like the ultimate. I just have no idea. Like throw your hands up in the air. Like they might win both of them. They might lose both by 30. Like I don't. Yeah, sure. If you told me either one, I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, I feel like the Sunday matinee is really setting us up for like the Celtics fall behind 36-5. And then in the fourth quarter with like 2 minutes to go, it's a 3-point game. We'll see though. Like, and then they still end up losing. But I think Sam is right that like even independent of like the Celtics Heat drama and like the importance of these games, typically when teams have these types of back-to-backs, they generally split. So that's my prediction. And that's honestly a win for the Celtics because then they'll have the season tiebreak. So if they end up with the same record as the Heat, they could still avoid the play-in.
At this point, I feel like we got to bring on the play-in because it's just going to be more interesting that way. I think the thing that's interesting about Kemba is like, Tom, you talk about all like the bad losses they've had this year. I feel like a lot of them have come on back-to-backs, and they decided to take a strategy. It's like, we're not going to play Kemba on back-to-backs, but now they get like their record really matters, and they probably having Kemba in those games would have been useful. Clearly, he's playing better basketball now, and so it seems to have worked out, but do you think they're like, I don't know, maybe would have had to like some of those games back? Because it's really like the regular season matters now. It's kind of why I like the play-in game. I feel like if it didn't exist, the Celtics would be kind of coasting right now. And I don't know, now I'm talking myself in circles, because if they're coasting right now, maybe players could get some rest and they'd be healthier for the playoffs. And so part of me is like, entertainment, this is a new gimmick game that everyone should be excited about. But like, as we see with the Lakers, as we see with the Celtics, you can't coast anymore in the regular season. And despite Tristan Thompson saying regular season games are horseshit, they played like horse shit tonight, but they certainly matter. They certainly have an impact. And so, I don't know, are you guys generally pro-playing game or anti?
There's a lot of questions packed in there.
Figure it all out.
I would. Figure it all out. All right, I want to start with the Kemba bit because
– oh, I mentioned that.
I don't think the Celtics regret sitting him in those games one bit. Like, and I agree with them. I think they're right. Like, this is back to Tom's point of – sort of playing for next year and not doing anything that'll jeopardize next season. And I think that's the wise thing to do. There's no – the ceiling, even if you play Kemba in all those games, the ceiling on this season is still capped as far as I'm concerned. And so I don't see any reason why they would say, hey, we should – like if we had the chance to do it again, we would probably risk his health going into next season to grab a few extra games. Like I think the right move is to say, no, we'd sit him again and again and again.
Well, and also they kind of tried something last season without sitting him like on a regimented schedule, and it didn't work out. Like he, at the end of the bubble, like Danny Ainge said that he wasn't 100%. And so I think they made the right move. And also both Brad and Danny, and I think even Kemba, have all like applauded the medical staff with the plan. Like they all seem very happy with how it's worked out. So yeah, would they have liked to have gotten a couple games back? Sure, but I don't think Kemba is why they lost those games either.
Yeah.
To answer the last part of your question, I'm kind of like not anti or pro play-in game. Like
take middleman Tom, make a take.
Okay. If you want my take, it's if you don't want to be in the play-in game, just win games. Like it's like I just think that you kind of have to like adjust to whatever the NBA is, like whatever their new thing they're trying is. We don't know what this is like. We haven't seen it yet. My take is that like players who are complaining about it, like, okay, do something about it, man. Like win some games.
That's the take. That's the take. My take is we should all be anti-players complaining about it when they're sitting in the seventh seed, but shutting up about it when they're in the fourth seed. Like you need a take because I don't buy Luka complaining about it and that when he's in the seventh seed and then not talking about it now that he's back to the four, or LeBron complaining about it now. Like I really, that bothers me quite a bit because it's very clear why those players are complaining.
Agreed.
It's also like they've designed it so you would have to lose two games in a row to inferior opponents if you're going to like fall out of the playoffs and get the ultimate punishment. Like it's just absurd. LeBron James and the Lakers should be able to beat whoever is in the eight seed. They're losing to the Trailblazers right now and are most likely going to be the seventh seed. I'm ready for every single call in that playing game to go for the Lakers because there is no, and I'm just basing this on Zach Lowe talking about the playing game. He's like, everyone in the league office will be rooting for the Lakers in that game because they only make money if the Lakers are in the playoffs. I'm like, that makes it so for some weird officiating. Like if the entire financial stake of the league is on the Lakers winning, that feels a little bit weird for me. So you're right, Tom. I'm glad you made the take. You're right. Players should shut up and just dribble. I think that's what we all heard you say.
That's exactly what I said. That's word for word what I said. Thank you. Yeah.
But they should just win basketball games. Like at this point, if the Celtics are in the playing game, you would think they would play with a sense of urgency. But at this point, I don't know if they would even show up. I don't know if they would wait until the second round double elimination to kind of finally start playing with their backs against the wall.
The nice thing about an 82 game or whatever, 72, whatever it is, like the nice thing about an NBA basketball season is you get what you deserve. Like the Celtics, if they end up in the play-in game, they deserve to be in the play-in game. If they lose two games in the play-in game, they deserve to be in the lottery. Like, yeah, like this isn't like an unfair thing. This isn't like Adam Silver conspiring against the Celtics or anything like that. It's just like, yeah, man, like, and you know, like this season, you can make any case you want about like this season being completely messed up. Like I agree with that. Like it's been really, really hard on players and on players' bodies and on everybody's, I'm sure it's been hard on everyone's mental health. Like it's just been a really tough season, but at the same time, just like purely on the basketball court, like, you know, like if you end up there, then that's where you should have ended up.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Basketball is the ultimate meritocracy where you, even just to win one game, you have to like make 50 shots. And so
yeah,
you do that over the course of the whole year. There's all the built-in excuses of the injuries, but I don't know. It's just this team feels like it has a very slim margin for error. And so anytime a player's been out is like an excuse to just lose the basketball game. They made a run. I'm angry at myself for getting false hope tonight when they were cut it down to eight. They drew a number of fouls early in the fourth quarter. Kemba had that shot where he could have cut it to five. But then just – what the Bulls call a timeout and then immediately go on a 12-2 run. And it's just like, oh, well, this was pointless. Sorry for feeling excitement about basketball. I don't know. I'm speechless. Any other notes from this game? Any other like hot, like great observations from the Geno Time team, because I'm speechless. I am without speech.
I think that Aaron Nesmith is going to be a really good basketball player. That's the other take that I want to get off. I think he's going to be really good. I think this little stretch here is very translatable. I think that he's showing a bunch of stuff. Grenham and I are both draft nerds. I mean, he's showing a bunch of stuff that like we didn't like really see at Vanderbilt. Like and like some stuff that at Vanderbilt, you know, we maybe saw flashes of, but didn't look like it would translate to the NBA game. Like he had a few of those. Like tonight, he had that drop off pass to, I think it was Tristan Thompson. He did like a little bit of that in college, but it wasn't something that you were like, oh, I think that's going to translate to the NBA. No, I think he's going to be a really good basketball player. And I wish I'd bought everyone's stock when he was struggling, because I think he's going to be really, really good.
I didn't expect to see like glimpses of playmaker Nesmith this early on, because you're right. We saw like bits and pieces of that in his 1.5 seasons at Vanderbilt, but you never really expected that to be part of his pro game. And I don't expect it to be like, you know, all the time, but that's huge that you're already seeing like little glimpses of that. I agree. Aaron Nesmith is going to be a good player.
These are both the guys who said Sadiq Bey was going to be a good player. And look how that turned out.
Yeah, we know how that one turned out.
Well, one of us thought that Peyton Pritchard was going to be a good player, and it wasn't me. So, yeah.
Well, oh, yeah. If you guys would want to learn more about the grind that Peyton Pritchard goes to, you can go to theathletic.com. Jay King, the kid, the god, the legend, wrote an excellent article about – it was crazy to me just how much work goes into becoming an NBA basketball player. And I realized, oh, I was never going to play. I thought I was good at baseball growing up. I was like, this was never going to happen for me. I was never going to do that much. Like, well, Peyton Pritchard used to go and dribble until his hands bled at 5:30 every morning. And it's just like, I have never had the type of drive to do that. So, I mean, I guess good for you, Chris, for being able to notice that Peyton Pritchard had the drive to become a great basketball, but him and Nesmith didn't show up tonight. That's the kind of the other thing is that like I felt like they were giving the bench kind of a boost over this past stretch, and the really other than Kemba and the first quarter of Fournier, no one really had anything consistent tonight.
For sure, I mean Kemba was like he was pretty much their only like good player. Like you're gonna lose a lot of games when you have one good player.
That is absolutely fair. I've run out of things to say, so I think we fully transition to the nonsense portion of the podcast. Normally, we do the world-famous Potable six-pack, but I've tried to run the numbers. There's no way four can go into six. We're making it a Potable eight-pack. The eight, just observations, anything. I'm going to extend this back to the Magic game as well, just because so we'll have more things to talk about, because I think we really milked this Bulls game for everything it's worth. But the just thing, anything you want to talk about, there are no rules in the Potable eight pack. It is a snake draft. We'll pick eight things. I'm going to say, Chris Grenham, you have the first pick.
All right. My first pick is, I think it was in, there's probably like 5 minutes left, I believe, in the fourth quarter. Jason Tatum threw a horrendous inbounds pass underneath the hoop. Brad Stevens spiked his gum on the floor.
Yeah.
I mean, great, great Brad moment. So mad Brad spiking his gum is my first pick.
That's fantastic. I feel like Brad's been a little bit angrier, a little bit more demonstrative on the sideline this year. And I think that's good. He's I'm going to just take the second pick because it's my show and I get to control who's talking. Brad kind of dunking on Corrales after the Magic game, where Corrales was going to be like, hey, that taco play was pretty fun. And Brad was like, yep, haven't thought about it once. Maybe you should talk about it a bunch.
I don't think Corrales got dunked on after that game. I think it was just like a fun response from Brad. I felt the need to stand up for Corrales. I don't think he got dunked on.
I wasn't watching. I just saw some people tweet about it, and I was hoping there to be dunked on, if I'm being fully transparent. But that's how it goes in the Potable eight-pack. Nicole, you're up.
Okay, I think I'm going to take the NBC Sports Boston propaganda machine for Evan Fournier and Kemba Walker's friendship. Obviously, we saw that graphic about how well they've been playing together. Abby Chin, this was actually a good clip. Abby Chin quote tweeted a play from the first quarter where there was good ball movement, and then Evan Fournier hits a corner three, but basically before he releases it, Kemba's already celebrating and on his way back to the defensive end. So they're really trying to pump up that narrative. We'll see how long it lasts. But yeah, I think I'm going to go with that.
It's a very solid pick. NBC Sports Boston, when they get a narrative going, and it feels like it's mostly just because they have like 17 ads they need to get before the game. So they like, they need Forsberg to do at least three segments where he's talking about something. And it's like, and they pick it up before a game. But the thing that I liked about the stat was as like Evan Fournier and Kemba Walker have like a plus 30 net rating in duos who have played more than 95 minutes together. I'm like, it's been a long season. I don't think 95 is the correct minutes threshold for kind of assessing best duos in terms of net rating. I don't know if that's the case, but it doesn't feel, it feels like it might've been a cherry pick stat, but if it gets Fournier back when the Celtics are re-signing, then I'm all for propaganda. Tom, you get two picks now. It's very exciting for you.
I only had one ready. I forgot that it was a snake draft. All right. Well, the one that I have ready here, after Jabari Parker signed with the Celtics, a bunch of people, like I wasn't super high on the signing. I didn't think he was going to like, you know, be like a huge impact player. Like, you know, thought he might get some spot minutes here and there. He's pretty good in his first couple of games. And I had a bunch of people reach out to me on Twitter, literally demanding an apology for my takes. So I'm on this show to give you my apology. And here it is.
Insert the Conor McGregor, like, I'll apologize to absolutely nobody.
Yeah, he's not good. He really missed a terrible three and was just completely lost on defense. Apologize to no one. People are idiots. And do you have a second one? Because I can keep talking about how people are idiots.
Why don't you keep talking about how people are idiots for about a minute and a half here?
Okay, I got people in my mentions being like, Brad, like, it's still on Brad Stevens for this guy for how the Celtics have come out tonight.
Yeah,
it's just so treating the players like they're children to be like, if Brad Stevens needs to yell at these guys for them, like, Brad Stevens is not responsible for like the effort like level of the players. Like, they are professional basketball players. We've seen with the Pacers situation, like, Nick Nurse Jr. just screaming at players doesn't work. Like, that's just not how NBA players respond to these things. And so, like, that's just, it might work in Little League, it might work in AAU, but like having a grown man scream at another grown man is just not conducive to anyone playing good basketball.
Nick Nurse Jr.
I'm bummed that we won't get a Celtics Raptors playoff series, because that means no jam Nick Nurse commentary this week.
I did take a lot of joy in the Raptors. I saw a clip of them playing the Wizards the other night, and I think they had six missed threes on one possession that would have, like, tied the game. And it was just like, Siakam to Van Vliet, missed it. Siakam gets three men to Van Vliet, missed it. And it was just like, I don't know. For some reason, I think it's just specifically the people I follow on Raptors Twitter who are obnoxious. I just take great joy, some schadenfreude in the Raptors losing. It's probably Nick Nurse related.
I will say that I appreciate your point about like Brad not like everybody being adults, because people really seem to think that like NBA players, who again are grown adult human beings, are going to respond to like a ton of like rah-rah stuff. And like, it's just like, I mean, unless you are like, I mean, I feel like the one coach who I see like kind of get away with that, like not even get away with it, who I think is good at it, is like Monty Williams. I see sometimes being like really inspirational. And I feel like it's just like, he's so genuine when he talks that everybody's like, man, I really related to that. That meant a lot. Like, thanks, Monty, or whatever. I just don't think that like rah-rah stuff works very often. Like,
especially if you're Brad Stevens, if you come out and start just being like lighting in, it's like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, this is mild mannered Brad Stevens. He's being fake as hell. Like, this is nonsense. This players would see, they're not idiots. They would see right through it. It's just, fans are mad online. I understand being mad online. It's not cool to be mad online. PSA, being mad online is never cool, but you gotta tweet at someone. So why not me? About why? Has this been enough?
Please don't put it on the paper that I was mad.
No, not at all. Definitely don't record a podcast about it and release it to the public.
All right. I got my other APAC here. So the Celtics, it would be a disaster if they missed the playoffs. If they lost in the play-in game and they didn't like get in there, it would be an absolute disaster.
That for a second, I thought like if they fell to the 11th seed, it's like I didn't know that was even possible.
GM starts panicking. Oh no!
Oh god, it would be really bad if that happened. All I am saying is that James Bouknight is currently 12th on Tankathon's lottery odds, and
James Bouknight is not the name of a real person.
It's the name of a very good basketball player.
Where does he go to college or UConn. Indoor high school? UConn. They haven't made any good college basketball players ever.
Yes. Yeah, so that's all I'm saying. James is a bucket. Knight is
I actually like that because if they do miss the playoffs, spin that positive, better draft pick. Mm-hmm. And you guys already seem like you pivoted to next season. You add another piece off the bench. What position is James Bouknight? That is an alias you use to check into a hotel.
Sir James Bouknight.
James Bouknight is a shooting guard. Just a bucket guard. He's just.
Like Carson Edwards.
No,
don't even. That is slander. Do not even go there.
He's 6'5" for one thing. I think that's right. Is he 6'5"?
I think 6'4". Yeah.
6'4". Yeah. But yeah, pick and roll guy, hits threes, can score from all three levels. He's very, very good.
Also, I never thought the name James Bouknight was even a little funny until Sam said it.
It just needs the right emphasis.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, tanking for Bouknight. I like it. I think we can embrace that for when the Celtics inevitably lose a bunch of they're not going to lose. They're going to win that first game in the play-in game. It's going to be electric, and then they're going to get – losing 6 to the Nets. Sounds like making some noise to me. That sounds like some fun time.
Yeah.
All right, Nicole, you are up.
Oh, boy. I'm going to take Marcus Smart wearing a headband. I think that didn't even last the whole first quarter.
No, he airballed a 3 and then immediately threw off the headband. Not immediately, but think of the next possession. Strange look from him. I was very startled when I saw him in the Magic game wearing the headband. I wasn't used to it, but he was bad tonight. Like, he just threw some dumb turnovers that he's kind of want to do, but tonight it felt like they were kind of soul-crushing turnovers where it's just like, sheesh, man. Like, what? I don't know what the decision-making process there, but love him, trust him. Got to just keep going with Marcus Smart.
With or without the headband?
Yeah, I mean, he can do whatever I want. My personal favorite Marcus Smart look is where he gets like the beads, like the blue beads in his braids. I think that's his best hairstyle, but we'll see what he does moving forward. Headband was clearly not working for him. I like the idea of throwing it away because it has no buckets in it, like the classic IT line. Like, that's just whatever you can do to kind of – well, it didn't work to turn the fate of the game around. But whatever you can do to try. I like trying. Trying's great. I guess it's my pick, and I'm torn between I'm going to choose one that I know Grenham's not going to pick, and because this is really off the board. But did you guys see Zach Lowe's article about Clint Capella? And he was talking about how the Hawks have, like, a really regular game of, like, very intense Monopoly and between, like, Gallo and Clint Capella and someone else on the team. And I just thought that was the lamest shit ever. Monopoly is a terrible game. Monopoly is an awful board game. And, like, these guys are just – that's their regular go-to. Out of all the things in the world, I just thought that was not something you brag about to Zach Lowe.
You were so right. That was not on my radar.
There are so many better board games than Monopoly. Like,
yeah.
Like – all of the board games, but
Monopoly has never been fun.
There's so many genuinely good ones, and Monopoly is just not one of them.
It's just the Hawks keep winning, so I had to take some sort of shot at them, and it's their choice of board games. So things are going well on my end. Graham, final pick.
Do I have one? Or do I get two in the snake draft or one?
Oh, no, the 8-pet. We got 8-pet. Oh, that's the final ones. Like, unless you want to go a 12-pack.
I could go. I could go.
It feels like we're getting a little sweaty on this premise here. So
all right, I'll go two quick ones because I have two that are on.
Oh, you're allowed to do honorable mentions.
So I have an honorable mention after. There was one moment that kind of, I don't think, got like focused on all that much on the broadcast. But it was at some point in the second half, there was a foul. And Marcus Smart, you could hear him like audibly yelling on the court, like yelling at the ref and like kind of getting fired up. And Grant was just in the middle of the sheer chaos with his arms out on both sides, just yelling at everyone to stop it. Just stop it. Like the voice of reason playing hall monitor, yelling at everyone. And I thought that was absolutely hilarious because he was like, yeah, he was the voice of reason, which makes perfect sense.
I thought it was Grant after he fouled Vucevic.
I think it might have been a Grant foul, but Smart was he was yelling at Smart because Smart was like losing it, and he was just like, no, this is not happening, no. and he didn't get teed up. So
the Celtics were kind of mad tonight. Marcus, I think, got a tech. Kemba got a tech. Fournier got a tech for just throwing the basketball at the stanchion twice, which I didn't know was an automatic tech, but good for the Celtics, you know, really earning them. The final honorable mention. Oh, wait, did you have more?
The other one I was just going to say was Brad Stevens praising Javonte Green for being a great locker room guy before the game.
He is a great locker room guy. One of the best guys, Javonte Green, when you're standing in the locker room, he'll tap you on one shoulder and then sneak to the other side. He does that to random strangers. He did that to me a number of times. I don't know Javonte Green, but he's a so that's a great locker room presence. Speaking of former Celtics, I just thought it's always funny to me, Tice just getting absolutely boned by the whistles. Like he had one of the cleanest blocks of Grant I've seen in a while, got called for a foul. He was brutally fouled twice by the Celtics, and it was just like, nope, no call. The war on Tice continues.
And his hand, he was showing him, like his hand was like hanging off his wrist, like it was all red. And he's like, you guys see this, right? And they're not doing anything. It really felt like home. It was nice.
It felt nice. It's just nice. It's also nice to see just Tice thrive in his new situation. And Javonte Green hit a three tonight. Any other notes from this game? Empty them out. I guess we can go a 12-pack, but I don't know if there's anything more to talk about. But although I do have some honorable mentions. But the floor is for Gino time right now.
I can give one more honorable mention based on what you were saying. I think like – those technicals where you either like slam the ball on the floor or bounce it off the stanchion, they're like, I understand like why people get all antsy about them because they are just kind of like the ref, you know, going on like a power trip. And at the same time, every time they happen, I'm just like, that was so preventable. Like you could just not slam the ball on the floor. Like I understand getting a tech for arguing with a ref. I played in men's leagues. I've gotten so many technicals for arguing with a ref. You can't help yourself a lot of the time. But like when it's like slamming the ball on the floor, it really, or like slamming it off a stanchion, it's just like that was just such a preventable technical. Like,
I like that you're criticizing guys for like shows of emotion, but then you just admitted to arguing with the men's league ref who gets paid $9.50 an hour to be there. Awful call.
Well, it was a terrible call. But no, I just like get earn your money, man. Like if you're gonna get a tech, like go. I mean, even again, I know a lot of the time they're frustrated with themselves, but I don't know. I always feel like those are just very preventable technicals.
Oh well, most technicals are pretty preventable, but it just feels like very weird. It's like this guy expressed anger in a way that was by no means detrimental to anyone around him, and we have to punish him.
I do agree that it is. So I agree that it's a dumb thing to call a technical on, but I also just think that it's like preventable. I guess that's where I come down on ball slamming technicals.
That's fair. Anyone else? Any other notes from this game? Because I still have two or more three things in the junk drawer before we go.
Kobe White, really good. Celtics killer, which was created by Tom, and I'm all on board that he is a potential Celtics killer down the line. Or yeah, he is, honestly.
Hit more threes than I feel like the entire Celtics team tonight. There was times when they just left him wide open because they decided to play Taco or double Vucevic, and that did not go well. But
this could have been worse, honestly, because there was a couple really bad rotations that gave Chicago a lot of early looks from three early on, and they honestly missed a decent amount of like open looks. So I think it could have been even worse than it actually was.
That's the positivity we're looking for here on Anything Is Possible. It could have been worse.
You get when you have Gino time on your podcast, like, especially after a loss. There's not going to be any positivity.
Also, a 20-point loss.
So hey, they almost cut it to 5, though. I mean, that's pretty big news. The final things I got to mention is that Thomas Satoransky tried to dunk on Tristan Thompson, which I did not know he was capable of doing. And I like the kind of homicidal energy coming from Satoransky this game. And so I have to give him credit. And then Tristan Thompson early in the game just thought tonight was his night offensively and just was awful. and he just should stop shooting. That was pretty upsetting. And then the final thing that was just, I thought was a fun moment from the night was Scal in the second quarter, just asking Mike Gorman if he heard of TikTok. And Mike Gorman's like, yeah, I've heard of TikTok. And Scal just goes, huh, lots of dances. Yeah, got it right, folks. So that was kind of like the best moment. That's the best thing I could pull out from that night. It's just Scal and Mike are getting a TikTok. If that can come out of tonight's game, I think that's a win for Celtics Nation.
I totally missed that, but it
did too.
Before the pandemic, I remember Scal was having a conversation with me about TikTok, and he was complaining that his daughter can't talk now without doing a dance while she's talking. Like with every sentence, she like does a different TikTok dance, and he was asking for the origins of that. And then he was asking for I think I know where you're going with this, Tom. The like dating apps that players use.
One of my favorite things about Scal is him trying to like understand, like really like trying to piece together like the various social medias right now. He's like you have a conversation with Scal, and a lot of it's going to be basketball. It's going to be like him like having like a lot of really interesting, like smart takes about basketball. And then him just being like, but like, what is Tinder? I don't get it. It cracks me up every time.
Well, if Scal wants to learn about youth culture, I think TikTok is an excellent place to start, because I've learned things about Generation Z that I didn't even know were things, but they just yell sheesh a bunch, and it's generally entertaining. So I'm all for TikTok. I'm all for I was going to say the Celtics winning basketball games, but I realized that just doesn't happen consistently. But I am all for it. I'm all for the Geno Time podcast. I appreciate – all three of you guys joining me here after this ridiculous Celtics game. I will be happy to repay the favor. I believe I said I would. So when are you guys recording next? Let's do just all the background information. Now, when am I next coming on Geno Time?
We'll record early next week. We'll have you on for sure.
Oh, well, I'll be there. So if you guys enjoyed this 45 minutes of nonsense, look for it on the Geno Time feed. Subscribe to Geno Time. And you'll get the brilliant takes of Tom Westerholm, Nicole Yang, and Chris Grenham. If you enjoy my personal brand of nonsense and you like the general serious hard analysis from Jay King, Athletics beat reporter, then please subscribe to Anything Is Potable. Do all the things podcast hosts tell you to do. Give us 5 stars. Give us a review. Tell a friend. And thanks for listening to this episode of Anything Is Potable!